This is Primal Potential, and I am your host, Elizabeth Benton. Primal Potential is about you. Your ability to change is not defined by yesterday and doesn't need to wait until tomorrow. Your transformation is now. Let's get started.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal Potential Podcast. I hope your 2019 is off to an amazing start. I hope you are choosing to create solutions in your life, to find joy in your life, to look for the good in your life. And if there is anything that I can do to help or to support you as you make those shifts, let me know. I am always just an email away, and I am truly honored to be a part of your journey in whatever way you choose to include me. Today, I want to share with you an expanded version of something that I do fairly often, at least every couple weeks, with my clients in the 12 Weeks to Transformation, my clients in the Master's Club, and that is get very real about how I coach myself through hard moments. And today is going to be a little bit more fleshed out, a little bit more granular, because it's a big topic: how we handle chaos in our lives without deciding that chaos means crisis, that chaos means I can't possibly take good care of myself because, well, stuff. Before we get to that, and I'm really excited to share with you how I got to practice that in my life and am practicing that in my life through a particularly chaotic week or two. Before we do, you guys, holy Toledo, abundance of gratitude. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for the beyond incredible response to the release of Chasing Cupcakes. In case you missed our last episode, episode 552, and if you did, go back, listen, it's a huge one. In episode 552, our last episode that aired, I shared with you that my first ever book has been released. It is called Chasing Cupcakes, and it is now available. You can go on Amazon.com, search Chasing Cupcakes, and pick whatever delivery. Audible, paperback, Kindle, hardcovers hit or miss, but you will see it there. And if you are wondering what the heck the title means, what the book is about, how it's different from the podcast, I go into all of that in episode 552. But just for a short recap, I did not want to write a book about nutrition, about my own weight loss experience, though I do tell a lot of those stories, a lot of stories that I haven't shared before on the podcast or even with a lot of my clients. And the reason I didn't want to create a book along those topics, in addition to the fact that it's not really my primary area of passion, what is true for me is that when I was super obese for most of my life, when I was living paycheck to paycheck and six plus figures in debt, when I was very, very depressed, I knew what to do. I had an abundance of information, and I could have talked for days about strategies to eat less, strategies to work out and get fit, strategies to get out of debt or save more money or cut expenses. Those strategies were not hard to come by. The issue I had wasn't that I needed somebody to tell me what to do and how to do it. The issue I had is, how do I get myself to do it? How do I break through the inertia of delay? How do I get through the apathy? How do I respond in moments when I just don't want to do the work? How do I become somebody that not only does it consistently because discipline or willpower or shame or self-hatred, but desires to create change in my life? How do I do that stuff? What are the tools and the how-tos for all those moments when I'm creating excuses, when I'm submitting to them, and when I'm telling myself I just don't care, even though later I come to my senses and know that I do? What are those tools? That's the book I needed, so that's the book I wrote. That is what Chasing Cupcakes is about. And if you're like, the title is weird, I go into the story of what it means to me, what the cover art means to me, all of that stuff in episode 552. And you can go buy it now. It would mean the world to me. Buy a copy for yourself. Buy a copy for somebody you love. Buy a copy for your local library. Whatever. Give a copy away. Whatever you want to do would be so, so, so amazing. And I thank you for your support. And if you've already been into it on Audible or, you know, been through it on Kindle, I would imagine that most of you probably don't have them in your physical hands yet, though many of you do. If you have feedback, thoughts on the book, if you loved it, if you didn't, it would mean so much to me if you would head to Amazon, especially if you loved it. I mean, let's be real, and leave a rating and a review. If you're a podcast listener, you probably hear people make that ask on a regular basis, and it might kind of be one of those things that you hear and you're like, yeah, 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 but maybe you've never done it before. But I will tell you, as a first-time author that is learning this process and learning, you know, all that it takes to put a book out into the world, though it might take you 2 minutes to go to Amazon.com and pull up the book and leave a rating and review, it makes a huge difference. Every single one makes a huge difference in Amazon's algorithms and, quite frankly, in whether or not my book, whether or not Chasing Cupcakes, gets into the major retailers and things like that. So I understand that your time is super valuable. If you have gotten anything out of this book, it would mean so much to me if you would take that time and go through the book slowly. Like, if you're like, well, I'm only a few pages in, please finish it. But when you do, if you could leave a rating and review, honestly, it would make a really big difference. And like I said in episode 552, my own curiosity and my own desire to know what you need and to be better at what I do and to have my second book be even better than my first book, I would love to see a screenshot or a quote from something you loved in the book. Tag me on Instagram at Elizabeth Benton. You can use the hashtag Chasing Cupcakes if you want. Certainly don't have to. I would love to see what moves you, what inspires you. Is there a chapter that you're like, oh, yes, this? That kind of feedback is super, super valuable to me. We are shifting gears in a major way. The last episode, we were really talking exclusively about Chasing Cupcakes. Today is going to be really tactical and practical, while also personal and something that is very challenging for most people. And that is maintaining self-care and sanity in those chaotic seasons of life. Wherever the chaos comes from, your schedule is jam-packed. Maybe there's something going on in your family. Maybe it's emotionally chaotic. Or a combination of all of it. Today we're going to be talking about how do we get to the point? How do we put things in place? How do we practice so that we no longer check out mentally until the chaos subsides and then we're like, well, crap, I better get back on this wagon because there is no wagon. How do we put things in place so that today, in the smallest of moments, maybe we're running late for work, we can take that as an opportunity to practice not checking out, not telling ourselves, I just can't, or it's too much. I've learned a lot in the hard seasons of life, and even the seasons of life that maybe haven't been hard, but have been really full and overwhelming and overloaded emotionally, time-wise. I've learned a lot. And one of the things that I remind myself of constantly, and this comes up in my correspondence with clients all the time, when life is challenging to any degree, the choices we make about how we care for ourselves, whether that is food, journaling, working out, sleeping, the choices we make that seem unrelated either make those life circumstances harder and less manageable or easier and more manageable. Seriously, we have the power, even when the chaos in our lives is outside of our control. Maybe you're dealing with an illness in your family. Maybe you were just laid off work. Maybe your kids are going through something. The reality is, while many of those factors are outside your control, how you take care of yourself will either make it worse and harder to manage or make it better and easier to manage. That is just true. So many times the approach that we take where we mentally check out, we drift, we say, I just can't, it's too much, I can't deal with that right now. What happens when we disregard self-care when life is hard is that we make a tough situation way more challenging. Way more challenging. I am proud of myself in that I now look to these moments, whether it's a day that is particularly challenging or, as in the case I'm going to go through today, a week, a couple of weeks really, or a month or a period of life. I am proud of the fact that I now see it from the perspective not of like, oh my gosh, it's too much, I just can't, I just need to survive, which was actually me not acknowledging that I was making it worse by letting myself go, by disregarding self-care. I now see it as an opportunity to practice because I don't have it all figured out. I certainly can slip into victim mode. I certainly can find myself making excuses or exceptions and cutting corners. But what I tell myself is, Elizabeth, that doesn't make it easier. It makes it way harder. Way harder. I am going to share with you today this particular season that I am in right now, and it's a short season. It's really just a week, 2 weeks, that is very chaotic, and how I am being strategic to ensure that I don't just get through it without losing my marbles, but that I make it easier for myself and for everybody in my life. Every day, every minute, every moment of overwhelm is an opportunity to practice. And I want to share with you some of the specific things I am doing to manage. And to give you just an overview for context of this week and why I need to have these strategies in place and why some things have changed, what's the same, what am I doing to not get through it, but to really thrive as it's happening. It's a big freaking week. So you guys know January 10th, the book launched, right? Well, January 9th, and I'm recording this before January 9th, so knock on wood, hopefully this has happened. If it hasn't, maybe I'll delete this episode and pull it all together because, well, you know, whatever. Anyway, January 10th, the book launch. January 9th, I am closing, or I have closed, on a new house, and this particular deal is unique in that it is a very large property, and the main residence on the property was built in the 1700s, so there's been a lot of hoops to jump through and fixes to make sure all the T's are crossed, all the I's are dotted prior to closing, walkthroughs on walkthroughs on walkthroughs, and all sorts of loose ends to tie up at the last minute. So closing on the house, moving into it the same day, moving out of my tiny house the same day, which is prior to the day of the book launch, having a tenant move into my tiny house the same day, and my boyfriend moving in with me for the first time the same day, our 2-year anniversary the day before, my 98-year-old grandmother in the hospital and having surgery, my kickoff of my 12 weeks to transformation, which is the biggest launch of my Primal Potential world that happens 3 or 4 times a year, and my regular workload and taking care of myself. So yeah, full week, and I'm going to be sharing with you my strategies for not only getting through it, but getting through it with a great attitude and with a high priority on taking great care of myself. Because if I say, oh my gosh, everything's everywhere, everything's packed up, there's a million things going on, order pizza, like it's 1 week, who cares? It's not about my weight. Please, trust me, that is not my concern. It is about how I feel. When I am eating well, I am more mentally clear. I am more emotionally stable. I have more energy. I just feel better in general. When I'm not eating well, I'm less focused. I am less emotionally on the level, right? I'm more emotionally volatile. I'm more easily overwhelmed. I'm more quick to anger, all based on my nutrition choices. So it is critically important to me that I don't say, well, screw it, you know, do what you can do, because I want to feel my best. It's the launch of my first ever book, right? There's a lot of big important things. It's the launch of the 12 Weeks to Transformation. There's a lot of people who are excited about this journey and putting a lot of faith and stock in my ability to help them help themselves. I don't want to just be like, it's just a week, I'll get through it. I want to feel amazing. So there are things that I put in place because this comes back to identity, and I've shared with you guys back in December, I read James Clear's newest book, Atomic Habits. And one of the things he talks a lot about is thinking about your identity, not like gender identity or anything like that, though I suppose that's on the table. But who do I want to be? How do I want to be? How do I want to show up in my life? And when I think about this particular week in those terms, I want to be the kind of person who takes amazing care of myself no matter what. It doesn't hinge on how busy my calendar is. It doesn't hinge on if I'm stressed or not. It doesn't hinge on if I have free time or if I am emotional, if I am hormonal. No. I will be, by choice, the kind of person who takes amazing care of myself because I want to feel amazing and I don't like not feeling amazing. I want to be the kind of person who does not turn my blessings into burdens, who does not let chaos turn into crisis, and who doesn't become an unbearable, complaining, whining, nagging grump because there's stuff going on, because there's a lot of stuff going on. So I'm going to share with you some specific tactics that I have put in place for this week to give you some very detailed examples of how I coach myself. And it begins with, this should be no surprise to you if you've been listening to me for a while, it begins with attitude. Yes, I could take the perspective of like, geez, Louise, when it rains, it pours, it's insane, it's chaos, I can't do that. I don't know how I'm going to get through this week. It's going to be a nightmare. It's just going to be like, wake me up when it's over. That is a perspective. But I begin with my attitude. I set the story of this week. And the story of this week is not, geez, Louise, hold on, everybody stay away, just leave me, nobody talk to me. No. The story, the attitude, the tone I am taking for the week is these are blessings. Even my 98-year-old grandmother, who fell, broke her tibia and her fibula, needs surgery, all of that, she's 98 years old. And she survived the fall. And she's healthy and strong enough that they're willing to operate on her. And we have an amazing family that rallies around and will do whatever it takes. Like, even that is a blessing. My family's got great healers in it. Like, we heal well. We recover quick, and she will too. That, even that, right? Of course, it's easy to say a book launch is a blessing and a new house is a blessing. It's not as easy to say my 98-year-old grandmother in the hospital with a broken bone and looking at surgery, and by the time this airs, I think she will have had that surgery. That is a blessing. There are blessings in that. To have her at 98, to be able to have these conversations, because most of my other grandparents have passed. So that is the attitude that I choose. These are blessings. And yes, it is a lot at once. I am not saying that it's not, and it will test me. But it gives me an opportunity at every turn to be better. The attitude that I choose to take, this is not to compare if you're going through a crisis with your family or a divorce. Like, I've been through a divorce and I've been through crises with my family. I am not doing this to say like my week of blessings is somehow like harder. No, none of that is what is happening here. I'm just giving you some examples of how I'm thinking through what I in the past would have thought of as like total chaos, order pizza, whatever goes, drink wine at night, just survive. The reality is that these things that I could take the perspective of like, oh my gosh, seriously, everything all at once? Should have closed on this house 2 weeks ago. Should have done this. Why did I set this up with the timing like this? Da, 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 da. I've prayed for these things. I've dreamed of these things. I remind myself that it was just a handful of years ago that I was over 350 pounds. I was depressed. I was living paycheck to paycheck. And I had over six figures in personal debt. And here I am, releasing my first book, buying a new property when I just closed on a investment property 6 months ago, not even 6 months ago, about 6 months ago. It was just a handful of years ago that if you had told me I'd be here now, I would have traded almost anything to jump forward to this point. The other part of my perspective, this attitude that I choose, and here's the thing, I don't choose it once. I choose it again and again and again. And when I find myself focusing on the overwhelm, I choose this perspective again. Chaos is separate from my choices, right? Life can be bonkers, bananas, good, bad, whatever, just bonkers. That is separate from my choices. When things are chaotic, I can make great choices. When things are not chaotic, I can make great choices. They are separate. I could spend 24 hours in the hospital with a loved one and I can make great choices. They're not separate. I can be running around from dusk to dawn, moving and unpacking and coordinating and trying to squeeze in work and also make great choices. That is my perspective. I used to lump these things together. If it was chaotic, I couldn't handle things like good food choices. It was just too much. But that's not true. It's not too much. In fact, it makes things easier. But it was a story I told myself, and now I choose a different one. The second thing that I do to make sure that chaos doesn't turn into a crisis in reality or in my own head, I ask for help. And like many people, I don't love to do this. I tend to have the perspective, I can do it by myself, I can figure it out by myself, I don't want to bother anybody. Here's how I reframe that. I want my friends and family to know that when they need help, they call me. I want to have that kind of relationship. I want to be the kind of friend, the kind of sister, the kind of daughter, the kind of niece, that if somebody needs something, they know I can call Elizabeth. She's got me. No guilt, no drama, no need to repay the favor. I want to have those kinds of relationships. Well, one of the best ways for me to create that kind of dynamic in a relationship is to be willing to say, will you help me? Because when I do that, when I did it earlier today, which again, this airs a little bit before all this stuff happened, or this is being recorded a little bit before all this stuff happens. I called my friend Sarah and I said, I need help. All of this stuff is going on and I want to set myself up for success. So before things get bonkers and I feel like I'm all on my own and it's like, I don't have anybody helping me, I am going to reach out now and say, can you bring me dinner on Wednesday? And if you have a little extra time, can you throw a load of boxes in your car and take them over to the new house with me? And her response was yes, and not because you need help or because I think that, you know, you would do it for me, because I genuinely want to. That's literally what she said. Yes, and do not feel bad asking. I want to help. That's how those kind of relationships are built. If we all sit on the sidelines and go, oh, I don't really want to ask for help, then how really deep are our relationships? The other thing that I ask for help with, and this one is as hard, if not harder, and I did it this week, I ask for help with my attitude. And I'm careful about who I ask, right? Because I don't want somebody to be snarky or dismissive or condescending or not hold me accountable. But there are a few people in my life that I can reach out to and say, hey, can you just like check me if I'm complaining this week? Because yeah, I'm going to be tired. And yes, a lot is going on and my days are full. But whether they're good or whether they're bad, whether they go seamlessly or there are issues, problems, like I don't want to be the kind of person that complains because that's just not fun to be around. So help me be positive. If I'm whining and complaining, just like challenge me. And my sister Debbie is amazing at this. A couple months ago, there was a series of unfortunate things that happened, and I called her one day in tears, and she said, there was no like victim pat me on the, oh, you poor thing. No. She said, oh, sister, what can you control? Now, those relationships are built, right? I didn't necessarily have those relationships a few years ago, but the way that people respond to me in that way is in large part related to the way that I respond to them. When they call me and they're like, you know, falling apart and every chicken little, everything's wrong, I'll say, what's good? What was the best part of your day? Why are you excited about this? What's good in this? And then they do that for me. So I will be the first one to say that in addition to calling my friend Sarah and saying, can you bring me dinner? Are you free to help me move some stuff out of the tiny house? Because I've got a really, really, really short window for turnaround. I also called some people and said, can you help me with my attitude this week? Like I feel really good and positive before everything goes, you know, full tilt. Can you make sure I stay there? And I trust that when they do, I'm not going to get defensive. I'm going to be like, thank you, because I don't want to be the whiner complainer. We all know those people. They're energy suckers. It's not fun to be around, and I certainly don't want to be that person. Now, here's the other thing that I am doing to help me with this asking for help. Typically, what I've done in the past is I just sort of think through in my head, like when I, I froze my eggs, like the eggs in my ovaries, not like the eggs in my refrigerator, although I guess they're in somebody's refrigerator now. Before that, because I knew I still had to work, I had an event coming up shortly thereafter, I knew I was going to need help. And I would go through it in my head like, well, okay, I can, you know, see if my mom will bring some food and I can, you know, get this done ahead of time and I can ask my boyfriend to do this, yada, yada, yada. What I did this time that made a huge difference is that I wrote it down. Who can I ask for help and what specifically can I ask them for? Because in my head, it was, well, I can't ask my mom because my grandmother's in the hospital. And so she really needs to make that her first priority. But when I wrote it down, what can I ask people to do? I was like, hey, there's actually stuff that my mom would probably be really happy to do to pass the time when she's at the hospital. Like I have a couple of really important phone calls that I need to make that really can't wait, but I don't need to make them. And so while she's sitting there while my grandmother's sleeping or they're, you know, waiting around, she would love to be able to help. And I think she probably feels really bad that it's not a week where she can come down and just take the moving off my plate or take the cooking off my plate or take the organizing the new place off my plate. I'm sure she feels bad about that. So when I write it down, I'm able to be creative. You know, my mom can make those phone calls for me. My mom can do a review of Chasing Cupcakes on Amazon. So yes, when you look at the reviews, I'm sure one of them will be my mother. And I'm sure that's very biased. Her name's Cindy. If you see that review, that's my mom. Not trying to hide anything there. But I was also able to see, typically I would say, well, my sister Debbie can't really help. She can't come down and help me move because she can't come down during the week. But there are things that she can do that she would love to do, and it helps build that relationship so that my sister knows, hey, we have that kind of relationship where if I need something, all I have to do is ask. All I have to do is ask. I sent a video to a few members of the Masters Club, and I said, guys, here's how you can help me. I anticipate that I'm going to need help. And it shows that's the kind of community that we have. They now are even more sure than they were before that they can reach out and they should reach out when they need help, right? ask for help. And don't just think through in your head, like, who could I ask? Write it down. These are the things that would be helpful. Who would love to help me? Don't assume that you're being a burden, because would you consider it a burden if somebody said, hey, there's something hard happening in my life, or there's something really, you know, chaotic happening in my life, or this is a particularly full week, or I want to be able to celebrate this thing, but I need to take some things off my plate. Ask for help. The third thing that I am doing, in addition to really working hard to frame my perspective and optimize my attitude, in addition to asking for help, set standards and have a plan. Now, when I say plan, let me be very clear. I do not have a meal plan. That is not what I mean. It's not like, okay, Tuesday for breakfast, I'm going to make a frittata so that, no. I'm not cooking for like 2 weeks. Between packing up one place, moving into another, all the work that needs to get done, like I have decided ahead of time, I'm not really cooking, right? But I still will have a plan and I still will set standards. So for example, standards. Nutrition is a part of that. I absolutely want to make things easier on myself and I will not be cooking for a couple of weeks, but that doesn't mean take out pizza and Chinese food. Not because there's anything wrong with pizza and Chinese food. No guilt. If you want to eat a whole pizza when you're moving, do it. I don't think there should be any drama or shame or guilt associated with food. It's freaking food. But for me, I want to avoid those foods for reasons that have nothing to do with food being good or bad and nothing to do with my weight. Simply, I won't feel as good if I eat that way. I won't feel as good physically. I won't have as much energy. I won't have the same emotional stability that I have when I'm eating really well and fueling my body brilliantly. So, I'm going to lower my standards in the cooking department. And I'll tell you more about how I plan to do that. But I am going to have standards. Still quality food and convenience, right? I'll spend more money on food over the next 2 weeks, but that's okay because I will feel better and I'll still be taking care of myself and my health. And it's not forever, right? So maybe breakfasts look like I'm going out, right? I usually go out to breakfast with my boyfriend once a week or so. I might go every day for 2 weeks. I don't usually eat breakfast every day, but every time I eat breakfast, chances are I'm eating out. Unless I have one of the Artisana coconut butter packets, which I doubled down on my order in anticipation, knowing, hey, I'm not cooking for a couple weeks, and that's cool. Dinner, I'll be going out more. Salmon, salads, grilled wings, steak, bunless burgers, because I'm not doing dishes. I'm not prepping. Yep, I'm not. And then there's going to be meals that I don't eat out, but they still don't require any cooking. So one of my favorites, I've shared this with you before. I know it might make you cringe. I'll tell you this. You couldn't have paid me money to eat canned salmon until I tried the Wild Planet brand. I am not affiliated with Wild Planet at all. Obviously, Thrive Market is a sponsor of the show. I'm super proud of that. And they sell Wild Planet brand, and it is cheaper than, like, it's a good bit cheaper than what you'd buy if you got it at Whole Foods or something like that. But when I tried Wild Planet brand canned salmon, it's not fishy. It's not oily. It is really, really mild and good. It's really good. And what I'll do with that, they have like a, you don't even need a can opener. It's a pull top can. And I'll just mix that up with a little bit of Primal Kitchen Chipotle Lime Mayo. And it's delicious. And it's super fast. And the only thing that I use is a fork. And I'm okay with that. But like really, truly, no dishes. No dishes. I'll probably buy more bars. And I actually have an order. I know the timing of me recording this versus I have an order coming before I close on the new house, before I move out. And I bought things that I don't normally keep around, like Epic Bars. Epic Bars are a meat-based protein bar versus one that tastes like, you know, cake and strawberry shortcake and whatever else. Because the more sweet things I eat, the more sweet things I crave. So I like those meat-based bars. But I have those on hand because it makes things easier. Or something like charcuterie, right? Some cured sausage, some cheeses, different things like that. All you need is a knife and I'm going to feel good about my body, my energy, my mood stability after making that choice. So those are some of the convenience things. The artisanal coconut butter is probably going to be the biggest savior, but I will be eating out more, and that is okay. And I'll also spend more money on things like bottled water and seltzer for convenience so that I'm not becoming dehydrated as I run back and forth and have a million other things going on. And then the other thing in terms of what can I make easier, having standards, really thinking about a plan, TV off already, right? Days before the book launch, days before closing on the new house, cleaning out the tiny house, moving to the new one, TV disconnected, done, off, because the reality is I don't need to use my downtime that way to make things easier. I don't need the distraction. I need to sleep if I have downtime, or read or journal or meditate, things that are going to be more of an investment in time so that there's a payoff versus just spending my time. I am sure food-wise that I will buy pizza for anybody who helps because that's just an easy thing that people like. But will I eat it? No, I won't. Not because pizza is bad. Pizza is delicious. But because I want to feel amazing, it is most important that I eat well when life is crazy versus how I used to approach it. I eat well when life's not crazy because that's the only time that I can really swing it. Not true. The next thing that I am practicing in this particular season of quite a bit of chaos is stop rushing. The tendency is greatest when there's a million things going on or you feel like there's chaos around you. The tendency is to rush, to do things faster, to multitask. But what is true in CrossFit is true in life. And Matt Frazier, who's like the bajillion time fittest man on earth, says, slow is smooth and smooth is fast. And when you rush, you make more mistakes, you have more stress, you're not as calm, not as peaceful. Slow is smooth and smooth is fast. So I will notice my tendency to rush, to move through things quickly. But rushing just makes me more stressed. Rushing impairs my mood. It zaps my energy. It impairs my focus. Slow is smooth and smooth is fast. I will be more militant about not multitasking and not rushing the more I have to do. This next one is tricky, as they all are, and that is I will embrace imperfection. It's going to be imperfect. The new house, it's okay if there are boxes everywhere for a couple weeks. My tendency would be to go in and I can't rest until everything has a place. But look, it's not going to be that way. It's not going to be that way. And the other part of embracing imperfection is going into it knowing there's going to be hiccups. With the book launch, something will go wrong. There will be a problem. There will be a question. With the new house, there will be an issue. I don't expect it to be perfect. So when those little glitches happen, I'm not like, oh my gosh, really? Seriously? Are you kidding me? I can't believe this. This is ridiculous. No. I expect and I embrace imperfection. I'm ready for it. It's part of the process. Okay, we'll deal with it. We'll figure it out. And that is also true of the state of the house. Hey, I might be a little slower to respond to emails. It's not forever. It's fine. Embrace imperfection. And then the last thing that I am making sure to incorporate in this chaotic season is making time for the things it feels like there isn't time for. I really believe that with our time, we either invest it or we spend it. And just like money, you know, if you invest your money in a property, you're not spending it. It is making money for you. That property is appreciating, or you're getting rental income or whatever it is, but you didn't spend your money. You invested it because you're getting more back than what you put in. And some things are investments of time. And some things, like I mentioned the TV earlier, are just spending time. I'm not getting anything back from the time I spend watching TV. However, the time I spend journaling makes me more efficient and more focused as I go through my day. It helps me make better choices. The same thing is true. The days I feel like I don't have time to meditate are the days when it matters most because I actually get more done. I get a return on that time that I spent meditating because I am less distracted, because I am more creative. So it takes me less time to do a creative task than it would if I hadn't meditated. Same thing with working out. It's not I don't have time to spend. It is an investment in my time because there is a return. My energy goes up so I can get more done than I would have had I not invested my time that way. The reality for all of us is that whether the season of life is positive or negative, you consider it just chaos or you consider it a crisis, the truth is that our choices are independent from that. No matter what is happening in your life, you can make great food choices. Maybe you're injured. You can still work out. You broke both your arms? Great, squat. You broke both your legs? Great, bench press, overhead press. You broke your back? There's a million things you can do. Still, get some dumbbells, do some bicep curls. And I know injury is just one example, but the point is our choices are independent of our circumstances. You can take great care of yourself regardless of your circumstances, and it does require practice. So I wanted to take some time today to show you what my practice looks like, and it is largely imperfect. I am a work in progress. Will I have moments where I burst into tears and I'm overwhelmed? Yes, but then I return to what is the attitude I want to have? I prayed for these things. I return to asking for help. Maybe that's when I call my sister. That's usually when I call my sister or my mom and say, hey, help me reset here. It is a practice. And it is a practice that is worthwhile. A few reminders as we wrap up. Chasing Cupcakes is now available. Did you get yours? Did you get it yet? Have you ordered it? Do you have it in your hands? Have you showed me a picture? Have you showed, like, I'm so excited to know what you think. I've worked so long on this. I've poured my heart and soul into it. I would love for you to tag me on Instagram. That's where I spend the majority of my time on social media. My Facebook time is really for my 12 weeks to transformation groups, my master's club groups, but tag me at Elizabeth Benton on Instagram. Show me that you got the book. Show me what you love in it. What did you underline? What did you highlight? What questions do you have? I am always just an email away or a direct message on Instagram away, and I would love to know what you think. Thank you for making this launch so fun and so fulfilling. After you finish or when you're halfway through, when you feel like you got a good sense of the book, if you could leave that review, it would mean so, so much to me. It really, really would. If you want to try out that Wild Planet canned salmon, I'm telling you, it's really, really good, even for people who don't like canned salmon. I don't like canned fish at all. Like, I think it even sounds gross just to say it, but it is really good. I will link to that brand as well as the Artisanic Coconut Butter Packets on the show notes for today's episode, primalpotential.com/553. You can get Chasing Cupcakes on Amazon. And while you are on the internet, go ahead and pop over to Thrive Market. Tell them I sent you by going to thrivemarket.com/primalpotential. You'll save an extra 20% on your first order, and maybe you can try out either the Wild Planet Salmon or the Artisanic Coconut Butter Packets. I'm a huge fan of both, as well as a lot of other stuff from Thrive. Love you guys. Can't wait to hear what you think of Chasing Cupcakes. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Primal Potential Podcast, where my goal is not to inform you, but to transform you. And if you would like to receive free motivation and strategy and recipes, workouts, meal ideas every week right to your inbox, just text the word PRIMAL to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. It's a great way to get the tools, the strategies, and the practical implementation assistance that you need to create your own transformation between podcast episodes. Just text the word PRIMAL to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. See you there.